people here in Estonia, people who have come from all over the world, and we all have different backgrounds, different cultures, different sizes and ages. I've visited with many of you, a little bit about myself. I think I've mentioned to some that I work in a bank. I've been in the banking business, financial business, over 40 years since I got out of college. That was a long time ago. 40 years just kind of went by in the blink of an eye. Being in banks, I've served under many different bank presidents. I've been in about four or five different banks, and it seems that every 4 or 5 years we get a new president. They kind of come and go. Most of these men and women I've served under have been what we call type A personalities. And what we call type A, they're very assertive, aggressive, hard charging. When they lead, they're out in front leading. This is the way we're going to do it, and everything like that. A few years ago, we had a new president of our bank. His name was Chuck. Chuck was a different kind of leader. It was said he led from behind. He led from behind. That was a new term to me. I never really heard that. I studied management and management theory in college and throughout my business career, but this was a new term. So you kind of wonder, how do you lead from behind? You know, we're studying leadership, servant leadership, different kind of leader. Well, Chuck was one that worked with people behind the scenes to improve their performance. He simply did it by encouraging people. That was how he did it, and that's the title of my message, encouragement. He would get with his subordinates, his people, and the troops, and tell them they were capable of doing their jobs, they had the necessary skills, background, and training, and they had the ability to get the job done. Encouragement is something all of us need from time to time. Quite frankly, we feel better when people tell us we're doing a good job. We all like to hear that, hey, you're doing a good job. And we have the capacity and the ability to do more and do a good job for the company. But what does the Bible say about encouragement? Should we encourage others? Why should we encourage others? And what should we encourage others to do? Let's look at how does God encourage us. Let's start there. God is our leader. We have to recognize that. So let's look in Revelation 12:14. Revelation 12:14. We can see some encouraging words from God. Revelation 12:14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. Brother, this is very positive, encouraging, and uplifting. It means there's hope for all of us. God's promise of eternal life. Enter through the gates into the city, the holy city in New Jerusalem. As we read through the Bible, there are plenty of passages about various people's trials and tribulations. Some people overcame these trials and others didn't. A lot of examples for us both ways. The trials of the people in the Bible are like ours today. We have the same type of trials. Sometimes we get discouraged and depressed about the times we live in and the pain and the suffering as the trials we go through. I know the other night, listening to the people and their stories, they were very painful stories that people went through just to be here and where they are now. But as we read about the reward of the saved, we should be encouraged and full of hope when we read about the world tomorrow. Just as God inspires and encourages us, we need likewise to encourage others, and God has instructed us to do this. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. We're going to read 11 through 15. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, starting in verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. Now, we could say edify and comfort. That's just in other words for encouraging one another. And there are many ways to comfort, encourage each other. When people miss church, and people do miss church from time to time, we can call them up and say, hey, we missed your church this week. Just want you to know we're thinking about you. You can write them a letter. Send them a card. Communicate with them. You can go visit them. Sometimes people are sick, and they appreciate a visit when they're sick. Other times you can have people over to your place. That's a way to encourage and comfort people. Let's come over for dinner or go out after church or something like that. really what you're doing is letting the brethren know that you care for them and about them. And that's a good way to encourage them. Let them know you care for them. In other words, you love the brethren, you're caring for them, and you're comforting them. Let's go on in verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Here they're talking about the ministers and the elders. Well, they need encouragement too. They're people just like we are. They need encouragement. They need to know we love them. So we need to encourage them too, the same way. And going on at 13, and esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. To be at peace among yourselves. And then verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Now if we stop there and think about this, we have a responsibility to warn or counsel those who are drifting from the truth. We need to encourage them to get back on the right track. If they become unruly, we need to encourage them not to be unruly. Then we go on in the verse, comfort the feeble-minded. Well, we can all raise our hands there. We're all feeble-minded from time to time. Support the weak and be patient toward all men and encourage all men. And then going on in verse 15, seeing that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. When Paul was writing about among yourselves, he meant people in the church, the brethren. When he mentioned all men, he was referring to everyone we come into contact with, not just the people in the church, but all men. We should be a light or an example to all men by our conduct. Our personalities should be uplifting, understanding, patient, and always encouraging. And we should encourage everyone to follow God's truth. A lot of times we do this by an example. That's how we can encourage the people in the world to follow God's truth. Now, some of us may not have been born this way, this positive, uplifting type person. Some of our personalities are a little bit different. But with God's Holy Spirit, we can overcome that and become the type of encouraging, positive person God wants us to be. I want to tell you a story about encouragement. This is a true story. I didn't make it up. It's a true story. Something happened to a friend of mine. She lives in another city. She's a member of the United Church of God. And recently she went to her 20-year high school reunion. That's something we do in the States. We go to our high school reunion, see our old buddies, and show off how successful we are, or unsuccessful, or whatever. And she met some friends. You know, she went to high school, had a good time. This was 20 years. A few weeks after the reunion, received a letter from one of her classmates. And the letter kind of shocked her. The letter was to thank her for the encouragement she had given to her friends 10 years ago at the 10-year reunion. She didn't even remember the conversation talking to them. But that's the type of person she is. She's just a positive type person. And the story goes, when she was visiting with a couple 10 years ago, you know, hi, how you doing? The husband went off to talk to his buddies, and she was talking to the wife. Then the wife started to complain. Oh, you know, they were just in a mess. They were having problems. The husband had just lost his job. His company had been bought by another company, and this was the mid-80s. At that time, massive layoffs, downsizing, right-sizing everything, bad economic times. Same thing's happening today all over the world. Bad economic times. People are losing their job. He got depressed over this job loss, and that carried over into marriage. The marriage was about over. They were fighting. They didn't know what they were going to do. They were just miserable, discouraged. Well, my friend talked to her and told her, well, when you guys got married, you know, they were both in the class, she said, well, he was one of the brightest in the class. He was really the most likely to succeed. He was a prize. He was a good person. And she said, this was just a temporary setback. You know, don't worry about it. You know, it's kind of like a sports player in a slump. You know, he's just having a little problem. She said, he was the same person he always was. He had talents and ability. He needed to snap out of it and get a better job. She encouraged her friends to think of all the good things in their marriage. You know, they've been married 10 years. Think of the good things in your marriage. And talk to her husband about it and encourage him to be positive and find another job. His life wasn't over. He was a young man. Well, she didn't remember the conversation. They went to the next reunion. Everything was fine. Then she got the letter after the reunion. The wife told her that she sat down with her husband and did encourage him, telling him everything her friend had said. And he did snap out of it. He just kind of woke up. Oh, okay, I do have talents and skills. He went out, found another job, and he did put their marriage on the right track. Then the letter went on to say, because of the encouragement he received from my friend, he changed his life. He decided to encourage everyone he came into contact with. He started to think of others and their needs instead of focusing on himself and his problems. And he really couldn't thank my friend enough for what she had said and done. And I think the key here, he started to focus on everyone else and their needs and their problems and how he could help them and not on himself. And that's one of the main points of encouragement. Without knowing it, my friend, she led others by practicing the skill of encouragement. Her friends were not in the church, but what an example that is for us, to be an encourager to others, to think of others and their needs and not just ourselves. I know we all have stories like this where we've encouraged people. We meet people every day at the gas station, the grocery store, where we work, where we're out to eat, even the Feast of Tabernacles. We meet people not in the church, in the town, everywhere. We need to encourage others and let our light shine and be an example of God's handiwork. As kings and priests in the kingdom of God and leaders in the world tomorrow, we will be teaching others God's laws and God's way of life. Besides teaching, we need to encourage people to follow those teachings. We need to encourage people today to follow those teachings and in the world tomorrow. For the final scripture, let's turn to Proverbs 12:18. That's Proverbs 12:18. For there is a person who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Well, we don't want to be that person. The piercing of a sword that cuts, that jabs, that tears apart, that discourages, that's real negative. But going on in the last part, that the tongue of the wise is health. A wise person is an encouraging person. So let's be positive examples in encouraging to all brethren and other people that we meet.